This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes until somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game on a hump day. Trying to get you to the weekend. We're almost there. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey man. Craig behind the glass, running the board for us, our engineer. AT executive producer here as well. Mike Bell, man, finally it feels like spring. And I know you went and played a little golf over the weekend, last weekend, and you may be going out again this weekend. Finally got a chance to go hit them. And this morning went on one of those little short courses out there off of Windy Hill Legacy. Mm-hmm. And nothing free, I paid. And
yeah, by the way, we have to. Anytime we mention anything, we got to say if we got a free drink. We got to say, oh, by the way, we got a free drink. We paid for your golf.
We paid. Yes. So no, man. But it felt like spring finally. Now the other thing is that pollen is in the air, and I came back to my car, and I'm looking at my car, and it's like, oh, it's covered. First time I've really paid attention to it because we've had so much rain and whatnot, but cold, hot. Finally, it feels like spring.
Yeah, so let's hope that spring has sprung for Braves fans that are heading up or maybe already be, in the areas where you can tailgate. Be ready to rock at SunTrust Park where the Phillies in town. And, again, they had the young stars out there last night. It was kind of funny. A guy never hit a home run, Coach Yard, twice. Which, again, as we talked with Grant McCall, and he'll join us later, we were talking to him before the show, you know, saying, look, a lot of guys are just trying to work on some mechanical stuff. So don't read anything from that one. But Braves in action last night. But the season begins in earnest. Remember when you were a little kid? And your team starts off 1-0. I mean, maybe uses Carl and I because we were baseball nerds as kids.
Super psyched.
You look in the newspaper. We're in first place.
Super psyched.
You know what I mean? It was the coolest thing. You get your baseball cards. They usually come out mid-February. Spring training we talked about. And then, hey, no matter how crappy your team has been, you still got a shot. Everybody's got the clean slate right now, Ming.
Speaking of the Braves, did you see this article by Jeff Schultz?
Oh, yeah.
Schultz, who's a columnist for the AJC, guys, interviewed Terry McGuirk. Now, I know that for those folks who are familiar with the John Coppolella situation and, you know, how that all went down, Mike and I have said this from the jump. How did the other people in that building not know, right?
Right.
How did the other folks who were involved in this, because Coppy, you know, he's been banned from baseball. Mm-hmm. He, you know, his general manager days, for the most part, are done.
Right.
And the idea is he was rogue. He went rogue. He did all of this on his own. So I see this article today by Schultz. And I just retweeted it, and I said, by the way, I don't believe any of this by Terry McGuirk. I'm sorry. The idea that McGuirk and company knew nothing about how he was spending this money or that they were even aware of it.
Right.
And, you know, I'm just telling you, from my days of covering baseball and knowing how most front offices work, I'm just having a hard time believing this. Now, at the end of the day, I don't know if we'll ever know the full truth because, again, there's been a lot of silence because of the baseball investigation. But the punishments come out. Braves are, you know, they're dealing with that. Coppy's dealing with the side of that, you know, he's been banned from baseball. But this is really the first time we heard from Terry McGuirk. And I read this today, Mike, and I got to tell you, I'm having a hard time believing it.
Yeah, they let the Schultze and a couple other writers, and Tim Tucker was in there, and maybe Dave O'Brien, but they were talking to the guys that run the show over there. And it was interesting. I love the line that Schultze used. Said McGurk attempted to say that he knew nothing about Coppola's actions. And as Schultze writes, that seems dubious, but that's his story and he's sticking to it because McGurk's the guy that basically controls the loot.
Right.
You know, and I've always said, I mean, look, we only, and I know guys get on us for a year, you guys want everybody fired in this town. This guy is a corporate lackey. He's been around for decades and he's like luggage. He's like a, you know, 5-piece set of luggage up in the attic, Carl. You never get rid of. McGurk's a guy, which I can't buy that. I can't take it on face value that he wasn't aware of this. And now it sure is convenient. He was a cancer. That's what they described John Coppola.
They did.
And they knew nothing of it and they cut it out and everybody else in the franchise is squeaky clean. Okay. But one thing for certain, one of the things Coppola did get right would be picking up Ronald Acuna. So we'll see how that goes moving forward. But it is convenient to put it all on one guy and his assistant, actually two, if you will.
Your chance to win $1,000 coming up here on Dukes and Bell. We are brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Guys, as we talked about pretty much the last couple of days, NFL owners meetings going on in Orlando. Wrapping up today, the commish did speak. Roger Goodell, and mainly talking about this targeting rule. Now, we left the show yesterday, and everybody's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So now you've had 24 hours to kind of digest this thing. You know, do you like it? Do you not like it? We've got mixed results, mixed opinions about it, about how the NFL is going to basically, incorporate this. And I was telling Mike before the show today, you know, having played football, you're never going to take the head out of the game.
Right.
You're just not. Everything that you learn, you're trying to protect your head, but in real situations, you're not thinking that way. Like when a play happens, you just learn to react to what you're supposed to do. You're not thinking, as we've always talked about, okay, head up, move your feet, take a step left, make sure you put your arm here. It doesn't play that way. And I don't care how many repetitions you have, the idea is make a play.
Yeah.
Get the guy on the ground.
Look, I'm with you, and I do think that in light of the CTE information, and they want to cover themselves and pretend that they do care about player safety, and they'll use Ryan Shazier as an example. I mean, that's not even a high-contact, high-speed hit if you go back and look at the Shazier hit. I mean, you cannot stop on a dime. I'm curious to see how they get a handle on this. It's going to call for a lot of review and hope that New York gets it right if the refs on the field don't. But It just adds another layer of replay, another layer of interpretation by the refs, and it gets us away from it. Look, it is a dangerous game. You never want to see a guy like Shazier have his quality of life altered the way it was, but this is still a very dangerous sport, and there's only so many ways you can try to alter it to make it safer before you get away from the core of what it is.
Richard Sherman and Josh Norman, two outspoken corners, both talking about this. Sherman saying, quote, it's ridiculous. He told USA Today this. It's like telling a driver if you touch the lane lines, you're getting a ticket. You're driving and you're going to get a ticket. He says it's going to lead to more lower extremity injuries. Josh Norman said, I don't know how you're going to play the game. If your helmet comes in contact, how are you going to avoid that if you're in the trenches and hit a running back, face mask to face mask, and accidentally graze the helmet?
Right.
They're just throwing, you know, hypothetical examples out there, but they're real. I think these are real life examples. So, you know, they're not going to be the only guys talking about this, Mike, but they are two of the first two guys to come out, Richard Sherman and Josh Norman, saying this new rule is crap.
Look, there's headhunting. And, you know, it's kind of like most people, I think, that are football fans that are listening to our show, you know a headhunt shot when you see it. When a guy's lining a guy up, coming across the middle, a special teams play. I mean, it's generally one that I think fans can notice, okay, right there. But then when you get into the impacts and the action and the, as you said, in between the hash marks, in between the tackles, how do you start to legislate that? How do you stop things in time like it's the Matrix and make the right call? I don't trust the refs to get it right, and I think this is going to be a problem.
Roger Goodell says, and more on this coming up, guys, our focus is how to take the head out of the game. I said it. You can't. He goes on to say, and make sure we're using the helmet as protection. Okay. I think this is going to be very difficult to enforce. And again, that's why they were real hesitant to put an ejection part of this or ejection element part to this rule. Because I think the coaches realized as they were in that room, Mike, and I can only imagine going, whoa, whoa, right, and all these coaches responding.
I'm with you, man. Look, I get it for your kids that are playing Pop Warner football or all the way up to high school, heads up football. I mean, yeah, I get it. We all want to practice that. The guys at the top level with the biggest muscle mass and traveling at the highest velocity, it sounds great in theory. It will not be able to be practiced every time. And teams are going to lose players. You're going to get guys kicked out. It's ruined parts of the college game at times for seasons of for team seasons, and guys know what I'm talking about. Georgia's seen it a couple of years where you've seen guys knocked out of games. It's too big an issue to be left in the hands of the refs and some knucklehead sitting on his butt watching a replay screen up at NFL headquarters.
We're going to hear more from Dan Quinn as he continues to talk about our football team and the expectation of the offseason. The other big story, I think, as we continue to follow it, developing story. Giants are asking for 2 first-round picks for Odell Beckham. Now, remember, they're saying they're not shopping him. Dave Gettleman,
Gettleman,
says he's not shopping him. He's the new general manager. But, guys, he's got a history. Remember what he did in Carolina, you know, with Steve Smith when he ran him out. And everybody's like, whoa, you're getting rid of Steve Smith. Steve Smith went on to play 3 seasons with the Ravens. Mike, I just think that they're saying they're not trying to move him. But if they get 2 first-round picks in return, and that cannot be consecutive, like this year, it could be this year and one next year, they're going to move Odell Beckham.
And remember, it was Dave Gettleman who was playing chicken with Josh Norman over his contract. Remember that?
That's right.
And he wasn't prepared to step up there. Now, again, you could argue that Josh became a little overvalued in that free agent class. But, hey, 2 first-rounders, would you? All right, you're the Rams. You pull the trigger on that deal?
Yes.
Yes. Especially if you consider you're going to be a late first-rounder anyway. Why not?
But look at the receivers you have right now. You got Robert Woods, right? Cooper Kupp. You got some weapons. You put Odell Beckham again with Todd Gurley and what you've got. You're good.
Yeah. I mean, you got Todd Gurley, Odell Beckham, and now Goff looks like he gets it. And he sure looked like it at times last year.
Yeah.
And then don't forget Sean McVay. You got a coach who's kind of like Shanahan, who's doing a lot of things out there to keep defenses guessing. That's a powerful offensive package to try to battle, man.
Yeah, I would pull the trigger, and only because, again, I'm only worried about this year. You know, we all get caught up. Well, what about 5 years? Who cares? You don't even know where you'll be in 3 years. I'm only worried about this year. If I'm the Rams, I pull the trigger because look what you did on defense.
Right.
With the free agent moves.
Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib. You left Alec Ogletree. You sent him to New York. Now, again, you'd already made a deal with New York, so if you feel that, the phone line is hot. You know, maybe we'll see Les Snead get on the phone with Ghetto Man and pull the trigger. Either way, that's the ask. And how does Odell Beckham now feel about this? Because his camp was saying he's not going to camp or he's not going to play without a deal in place.
I heard he's walking around his house in Tim's. No shirt. That's what I heard.
Well, if that French lady he was partying with is there, I'm all for it.
I don't know if that's true. It's Dukes and Bell, man. Let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
My daughter is scared of bugs. B-U-G. Bug. B-U-G.
Yeah, her and me too, man.
Every time there's one, like, come kill it. You can use your own shoe to kill it.
I can't even watch Starship Troopers sometimes. Anyway, the word is bug. B-U-G.
B-U-G.
Bug. Don't bug me, man. Bug to 72881. That's the 2 o'clock word, guys. Bug, B-U-G, to 72881 on the text line, and good luck.
All right. We're giving you a chance to win $1,000. And we've been doing this for a while now. We want you to win the money. Win the money. Win the money. 72881. All right, guys. We're coming back. We got plenty to get to, including our conversation with Mike Conti. We'll talk with Conti, and we do this every Wednesday, guys. It's Atlanta United. The team radio voice is Mike Conti, and we'll talk with him. Coming up also on the show, we mentioned Paulie Malignaggi, boxing analyst at 3:20. A little bit later on in the show, and we're excited to get Pat Swilling on the show. Heck of a linebacker in his day, but both of his sons play at Georgia Tech. We'll talk to him about this whole targeting thing,
yeah,
man.
I mean, it's a completely different NFL. He played the NFL when the shoulder pads were coming up to your ear holes on your helmets. Remember those bad boys? But it's just, and I know that we get a lot of comments, and you can hit us up on the text line brought to you by Salmon Brothers. Same number to call in, 404-741-0929 that Carl mentioned. I mean, I don't want to, I know that I always get on me if you're overreacting or overhyping. I just like I don't want more government in my life, I don't want more referees in my life.
You don't want more taxes in your life.
That damn straight. Okay. But I don't want to have more. The NFL is trying to speed up the game. And I will be honest with you, I thought the proposal of the Chargers was a pretty good one. Why don't we have instant replay and let the refs look at pass interference and roughing the passer? Those are critical moments in games. How many times have you seen momentum shift on those calls? You know, we saw the Patriots get some momentum against the Jaguars and all the way to the win in that AFC championship on a blown pass interference call. But, I mean, to me, I just think there's no way to keep the NFL game under 3 hours. There's just no way to do it unless you're going to start cutting commercial breaks, and they definitely ain't going to do that.
Yeah, I don't think we're overhyping this. I just think the initial reaction for real football fans is this ain't going to work. And it won't surprise me next year when the competition committee is revising this rule, you know. Right. And, again, I get it. For the cause of safety, you know, the NFL, we're doing everything we can to make sure players are safe. Okay. But the game itself is played a certain way.
You know when – there's, and by the way, there's incidental contact, and then there's, as we said, you can count on your hands, maybe just one hand you'll need. And you know who's in it most of the time? It's Vontaze Burfict. That's the guy. There's a couple of guys out there. When Anquan Boldin got lit up in the end zone a couple of years ago as a Cardinal, there's a couple of guys and a couple of hits, you know. It's not something that requires having traffic cops out there looking forward to every play.
All right, we'll come back. We'll hit some headlines and tell you the latest on what else is going on around the NFL. You'll hear from Dan Quinn as well. What's going on with the Falcons? We'll tell you coming up on Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
This is for you new people. I only have one rule. Everyone fights, no one quits. If you don't do your job, I'll shoot you. You get me?
We get you, sir!
Welcome to the Roughnecks.
Ratchats, Roughnecks!
Opening day tomorrow. And, you know, you were just saying this to me, but it's true. I don't know really what to think about this Braves team as far as a prediction. I know what Vegas thinks.
Right.
I know what the over-under is. But, you know, I heard someone say, couldn't this be like 91? Come on. I don't know.
If you feel you got the Avery, Smoltz, and Glavin, you know, in the minors
these young arms.
They're starting, I mean... Our starting five is a little meh. I mean, we'll see. You know, you got
Julio Teheran could win at home to save his life last year.
I mean, the guys that are supposed to be Glavin and Maddox and Smoltz are still in the minors. They were sent down before camp. They broke camp down at Orlando. So we'll see. Look, you know, we were joking around about this off the air. It's kind of like, you know, the movie Major League. You know, everybody is picks us to finish dead last. So, I mean, 200-1, Drunk Larry was out there in Vegas. That was the odds. I mean, I may have changed since then, but last week it was 200-1 the Braves to win the World Series. So $100 would pay you $20,000.
Yeah, and listen, come on, you blow that on a weekend.
Larry put the money down, so why not? But as I said today, it's tomorrow. Thank you for correcting me. But yeah, opening day. This is the time of year though where it's so exciting for a fan, especially if you're a kid. Does it still resonate though with kids like it did with us?
Yeah, listen, I think it does. I also think that if you have parents or a father or mother or someone, maybe it's grandmother, who knows, grandma, who is interested and watches baseball. And makes it a big deal. You know, I think for the people in my life, they made it a big deal. And and therefore, it became a big deal to me, even when I didn't know what the hell was going on. Like, you know, I'm like, well, what's all the hoopla about? So I think if you still have that, right. I think kids still pay attention. But I also, we know this. You know, everybody talked about the ratings. Baseball's ratings are decent. They're not dipping as much as we thought they would. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. We'll talk more about the Braves coming up. The latest on the owners' meetings as they wrap up today in Orlando. And also coming up, our conversation with Mike Conte. We'll talk some Atlanta United with the radio voice of our Atlanta United. Hey, Craig, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, Mike, we've been wondering about this Matt Ryan contract. When is Matt Ryan contract going to get done? When is this Matt Ryan contract going to get done?
Yeah, I mean, there's no sense of urgency, according to Falcons management. There's no sense of urgency for him to Mitrov. He's on record. Mentioned that at the owners' meetings down in Florida. It really isn't now. Because you did what you did in free agency. You didn't exactly go for household names because you couldn't afford them anyway. But we did address some of the positions, special teams, guard, hopefully, fingers crossed, tight end, backup. So you did do that. So now whenever you get it done is when you get it done.
Ball in on a budget is what we were doing. What's Dan Quinn think about Matt Ryan's contract?
There's things that keep me up at night, you know, and that's not one of them right now. And the reason being, this guy, you know, like, long-time Falcon. And, right. We certainly anticipate that being the case. Going into the offseason, really the plan, you know, free agency, and then the biggest part for us, the offseason, is the draft.
Yeah.
And so we didn't have any, you know, well, that has to be done at this time or this point, but we anticipate that happening, you know, prior to next, you know, free agency.
I want to know what keeps Coach Quinn up at night. Like, what keeps him up at night? Seriously.
Who's going to be my defensive tackle next to Grady Jarrett? How do we score 3 touchdowns a game?
Okay, that would keep me up.
I'm projecting. These are the things that keep me up at night. No, I mean, how do you – and I think he has said a lot about it, more, I think, in this this last go-around with the media than we expected, about how they need more out of Julio, including the off-season stuff. Yeah. And you've got to find that connection. I mean, you've got to produce more touchdowns. I mean, that's this offense went absolutely backwards last year. It's great that you can maintain, yes, statistically, yes, we had Julio had 1,400 yards. That's great. But we've got to be able to get the ball in the end zone. You know, and by the way, guys that are texting in and saying, what about Odell Beckham? How are we going to afford that? We never do that in a million years. We can't even get the ball to Julio. How are we going to get the ball to Odell Beckham? You know what I mean?
Well, first, you're right. We can't afford it. But more important, because they're not giving up two first-round picks.
No.
But yes, that's just unrealistic. I mean, there are realistic things that we could possibly do, and then there are unrealistic things. That's fantasy football. That's you sitting around with your boys right at the barbershop like, yeah, we should go get Beckham. Stop! Yeah. Don't even go there.
That's like you at the barbershop going, yeah, man, I was up the Ferrari dealership.
Right.
I'm thinking about grabbing it. Come on, get out of here.
All right, man. Jerry Jones, ironically, guys, talking about, speaking of wide receivers, on Dez Bryant. Everybody's saying Dez is going to get cut. He's done with the Cowboys. Here's what Jerry said.
We need to talk. I certainly have not had a thought about talking with him that did not anticipate him being with us.
Anticipating him not being with us. Again, I don't think you trade talent like this, even when they can be very difficult at times. It's the same thing we're hearing about Odell Beckham, and everybody's saying, oh, they're tired of his shenanigans up there in New York. Okay, well, maybe you're tired of, you know, Dez Bryant shenanigans. You still don't let him go. Now, I know you think he's lost a step.
I do.
But I just know from a standpoint of talent, unless you just feel like that guy is not helping you at all, then you roll with it. But I don't think the Cowboys are there.
I just think with his production has fallen. I mean, I think if you're the Patriots, you move on from Dez Bryant. You know, I think if you're the Cowboys, I understand that there's, you know, the guy has put some numbers up for you, but there's been a disconnect with him and Dak as far as the red zone at times. And certainly the production isn't there.
Tony Romo was his quarterback.
That's part
about my quarterback.
I mean, I just think, and the knock on him, and I haven't seen him run routes lately, but the knock, and this has been reported in the Dallas Morning News, that the Cowboys think he can't make the cuts and do some of the things on the route running that he needs to do. He's perfectly fine going down the sideline vertical, but they need more out of him than that.
It's a wild card. Flies by the seat of his pants. Completely unpredictable.
Now, again, he's got 6 touchdowns last year, and that's nothing to sneeze at. He didn't get to 1,000 yards. He hasn't get to 1,000 yards. Remember, he had injuries in 2016, but he still had 8 touchdowns that year. So, I mean, by our standards, he's a rock star, but by the Cowboys' standards, they're still saying they need more out of the man.
Okay. We talked about Roger Goodell today, owners' meetings wrapping up, some stories coming out of them, including Roger Goodell talking about two things. One, the expansion in the NFL, L.A. and Vegas, right? They're building a new stadium in L.A. Mm-hmm. And Vegas, Mike, I've seen the photos already. I just had a buddy out there. They took pictures of the area or the ground where they've already excavated the land there where they're about to build the stadium. Here's what Goodell said about both of those places.
We also spent a great deal of time on our stadium experience. As you all know, and I was just out last week again to Los Angeles, we're thrilled by the stadium experience that we know is coming there. We think it's going to be the greatest stadium in the world. When you add that to Las Vegas, which again, that project's coming out of the ground. It is, again, a very exciting project and maybe the fastest growing city in the country. We see all of these transitions playing out and leaving us in a very good position in a couple of years.
Nobody's talking about gambling. Remember how big of a deal that was? Remember everybody was scared. And, oh, we can't do the NFL in Vegas. Yeah. Nobody's talking about
that. Like, guys are going to come out in suits and go, meh, see, meh. Need you to drop that big pass. See, meh, meh. Point shaving, meh. I mean, get out of here. I mean, by the way, the house would see it anyway. If they see some crazy movement on a game late,
take it off the board.
So, I mean, they do police themselves. And Goodell and these guys, all they see now is the dollars because, like, it was untenable in the Bay Area. There was no money in Oakland. So, I mean, as a fan, when we rotate in again to play Oakland, and let's hope that we get them on the road, imagine the idea as a Falcon fan, you know, you've never been to Vegas, what a hell of a trip that would be. And the stadium's going to be just south of Mandalay Bay, accessible right off the strip. It's pretty cool. It's going to be a really cool experience.
It is. Goodell also talking about the commissioner of the NFL, about this targeting rule.
You are all aware of the fact that we spent a great deal of time, had a lot of discussion over the last several days, including this morning, on how we implement the lowering the head. Our focus is how to take the head out of the game and make sure that we're using the helmet as protection and is not being used as a weapon. And that's the core of what we're focused on. And I think we made a tremendous amount of progress in that this week.
Why don't you up your commitment to CTE research to more than $16 million since you grossed almost $12 billion last year, Roger? You know, maybe come up with a better mousetrap, better equipment, better gear. What do you think? You think that's something you want to roll the dice on?
No, we're more concerned about targeting.
Let's take another element out of the game. You know, I mean, I get, like, we don't want to see anybody in a wheelchair. We get that aspect of it. But it's still, do you feel what I was saying earlier to start the show? It's just, it's an inherently violent sport.
Of course.
And we love it because it is a violent sport. We've loved it for many of us grew up watching the greatest hits of the NFL. You'd get that videotape when you ordered your SI subscription.
I still have mine on VHS, but I don't have a VHS player.
It'll clean your heads.
It does. You do have to clean your heads. It's important, Mike. If you're a pilot, inherent danger. You know what the risks are, mm-hmm. right? They're slim. I get it. There are flights all over the world. But it happens. If you're a truck driver, you might be listening right now. There's an inherent danger. Every night I turn on the news, I see these crazy accidents with trucks all over the country. I'm just telling you guys, there are some jobs. There are guys fixing
Look right down the street.
Right now, building condos and construction in Midtown right here where we are, off Petrie. There's an inherent danger. That's just part of the job.
With you, brother. And let's hope that eventually somebody out there uses some common sense. And we'll talk more about these decisions that are coming down for the owners' meetings down in Florida.
All right, man. I want you to hear Freddie Freeman, Mike, because I want our fans and listeners to answer this question. Freddie Freeman says he wants to turn STP, that's SunTrust Ballpark, into a real home field advantage as we get ready for opening day.
Got a great atmosphere, great fans. So I think this year we're going to be able to turn it around. We got a great group of guys in here, and ultimately you want to have a winning home record.
All right, that is into the Cubs or the Dodgers, Yankees. They were just here. They're not playing them regular season. Do you feel me?
Did that Gregorius home run land yet?
I don't think so.
By the way, it's not the first time, because I know because at Citi Field, they built a stadium that David Wright couldn't hit home runs out of. Well, the Braves pitching moving forward, whoever the GM is, if Anthopoulos works, you're going to have to get some better pitching here because this place has become launching pad part two. It's like the old Fulton County Stadium.
But are we willing to, like, have fans around us or by us who are cheering and chanting or whatever they're saying and go, shut up! This is Braves country! I mean, we're not that fan base, are we?
It's a fickle fan base, brother. I mean, look, Braves fans go. There are passionate Braves fans. As I was half joking, there probably are some tailgating right now. But in the opening day tomorrow, there are passionate people that live for it. But, I mean, how many times have you and I been in a Braves game? You go, come on, Blue! People look at you like, who's Blue? Who's he talking to? That's the umpire.
It's my boy's nickname.
How many times you've been in a Braves game? You're like, come on, Freddie, give it a ride! You know, and you're standing up during a rally. Would you mind sitting down? My son can't see.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, it's part of it. There is a wine and cheese element to Braves fans. Which
did you say wine and cheese?
Yes, there is.
Pino?
I go to about half a dozen games a year, you know. At least last year I did at SunTrust.
Yeah.
You know,
and the ballpark, the
it's
whole
amazing.
Area,
it's great. All the bells and whistles. You know, now even more options with all the new restaurants and bars going in. It's going to be a blast. But I mean, that would be nice to sort of create that same vibe we have for Atlanta United, what we used to have at the Georgia Dome with the Falcons. Hopefully we will get at Mercedes-Benz once we keep the other team's fans out of the stadium.
I agree. And I'm with Freddie. I'd love to be at the ballpark and hanging out and feel like it's a true home field advantage. Now, I think part of the element is, one, it's new. You said it. You got everybody wanting to come check it out. Things will settle. But the other part of that is the product. The product matters. And if the product is not consistently winning, you're going to get a variety of other fans coming to check out what's going on.
But here's the deal, guys. The beauty of it is, as we said, it's all wide open, and maybe they can exceed expectations. I mean, you've got to get to 500. This is year five of the rebuild. I was looking at the Astros numbers.
It's ridiculous.
It was in year five that they got. You've got to see this jump this year, and you've got to see, again, the good news, we'll see Acuna. Based on what everybody's saying, he's the odds-on favorite to win the Rookie of the Year. Can't wait to see this kid in action.
Yeah, I just don't want to continue to talk about we've got the best prospects in baseball, the number one farm system. It's time to live up to it.
Also, by the way, Hawks gotta lose to Minnesota. There's a lot on the line here. They'll own Minnesota's first-round pick if the Timberwolves make the playoffs. So, Hawks, do your duty in the Twin Cities tonight and just die like dogs up there.
They are currently in the eighth spot. As far as the Minnesota Timberwolves. All right, man, we're coming back.
Don't listen to Mike.
We're coming back. Atlanta United team radio voice Mike Conte is going to join us. We'll talk some United.
I would suspend Schroeder for the rest of the season.
I've heard he's got food poisoning for tonight.
Swung on and drilled to right. It is gone. A bullet line drive. Yes, indeedy.
Time for the weekly Five Stripes preview.
And it's punched in for a goal.
With Atlanta United announcer Mike Conte. Brought to you by Associated Credit Union.
All right, we're looking forward to taking on Minnesota in our next match, which is coming up. The date has been moved, guys. Again, if you've not been paying attention, you've been out of town. And Mike Conte, we talked a little bit about this. This was supposed to be an Easter Sunday game, and instead it is a Saturday night game. And I want to make sure everybody is aware of that. But the weather, it could be another concern, as we saw this happen last year.
Well, both teams have to play in it. The good news is, if there is good news, it doesn't look like it's going to snow. So at least there's that. But they're talking about kickoff temperature now around 15 degrees, wind chill of 5. I got to be honest with you. I'm a little surprised, and I got to be careful how we say this. I'm a little surprised they haven't talked about abandoning the match, to be totally that seems too cold to me. Now, last year when they played, it was 19 degrees and snowing. They went ahead and played it. MLS does not have a cold weather policy. They have an inclement weather policy about general weather cancellations. But, I mean, that is really, really, really cold. And when you play a football game in 5-degree wind chill, that's one thing because you're wearing pads and you can wear a hoodie and everything like that. I mean, these guys, they can wear undershirts, they can wear long sleeves, they can wear gloves, but they're really going to be exposed to some cold temperatures. And then you go into the clubhouse for halftime, you warm up, and you come back out in that cold weather. It's going to be a factor. The pitch will probably be frozen. Okay, they play on an artificial surface there at the University of Minnesota, as you know.
They got the heating thing. There's like those heating elements underneath, you know, to keep it from. I don't know if they do.
Jason Longshore and I were talking about that. I don't think they do, because if they did, wouldn't they have turned it on last year when it was snowing?
True.
And they had 6 inches of snow. I don't think it was that much, but a couple inches of snow on the ground. So this is going to be a real test for both sides. It's going to be a real test for the physio staffs on both sides to just keep everyone limber. And I know Darren Eales was in here yesterday talking about how Barco's probably not going to make the trip. This would be a match where it would be really very risky to play a guy like Barco, who's dealing with a muscle injury, to put him out in cold weather like that. There's a big difference between 40 degrees and 15.
I want to ask you this as we talk to Mike Conti, guys. We do it on a weekly basis. He is the voice of our Atlanta United, and he jumps in studio with us. If they abandon the match, could you make it up? How does
I think they would have to make
it up. Okay, because I was going to say, how does that work moving forward?
The problem is, it Saturday afternoon, it's supposed to be in the 20s. Sunday afternoon, it's supposed to snow and be in the low 30s.
Right.
This is just what you get when you play a match this time of year at Minnesota. I mean, there's no way around it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, in Europe, which is obviously further north, you know, they're basically parallel in, like, the German league. Even in Italy, they're parallel with, like, you know, north of, like, Maine, you know, Quebec, Canada.
Right.
They play throughout the winter over there in England as well. They play in snow and stuff. But, again, 90% of our team is South American, you know, basically. So it just seems to me, look, these guys will deal with it. They'll handle it. Last year, they handled it in the snow. Well, surreal with the orange ball and about half a foot of snow.
There was a CONCACAF Champions League match, I think in Salt Lake City earlier this year, where it was where it was 3 degrees at kickoff. So they've actually played, MLS teams have played in colder weather than this, but that was not an MLS match. That was a CONCACAF Champions League match. And I want to reiterate again, I mean, there's no talk about abandoning the match. This is just something that I think is very, very unusual, and it's going to be a big factor on Saturday night. Obviously not the only factor. They will get through it. I mean, this is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You'll prepare. You'll get through it. But it's going to be very uncomfortable for both teams and very, very uncomfortable for the fans.
And I know what you're saying, Carl. You're saying, Mike, go find out what was the coldest ever soccer match in the
history
of the world.
I was just saying that.
Well, I found it back in 2010 in Trondheim, Norway, Mike Conti, in the Norwegian League. It was Bayer Leverkusen in the Europa League. And they played, I guess, Trondheim, and it was minus 14 Celsius.
Celsius, which is 6 degrees Fahrenheit, which is still warmer than the 3-degree match that I just told you about.
Is that really?
Yes.
In Celsius?
6.8.
Hold on.
6.8 Fahrenheit.
I don't know. That's why I went to Florida State. Back to you, Mike.
Hey, we're talking with Mike Conti. So we do know this. Darren Eales did tell us they're going to wear their King Peach kits for this match. But we will reveal them for our next home game?
Yes, that is my understanding, that they're going to wear that against LAFC. And that's going to be a big one coming up in 2 weeks. Well, I guess a week and a half now at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. LAFC has been one of the early surprises in MLS. It's going to be nationally televised on ESPN. So that is a big, big match coming up in 2 weeks. I really think, looking at this Minnesota match, you got 6 points at home out of your Vancouver and D.C. matches. So the philosophy might change a little bit as far as how aggressive you want to be from a player usage standpoint. And it might have made it a little easier to make the decision to not rush Barco back because you held serve at home. You know, now you go out on the road. You want to win, obviously, but if you draw, that's not bad. And if you lose, it's not devastating. You're still very, very early in the season. But to me, the bigger story is Franco Escobar going to play? Because he had that concussion in the Vancouver match when Guzan came out at the very, very end trying to punch the ball away, and he actually accidentally punched his teammate. Well, now, if he can't play, do you go with a three-man back line or a four-man back line? Who plays right back? Is Sal Zizzo in the mix? Could Julian Gressel potentially play right back in a four-man back line, which is something that's been talked about? You know, there was the thought that it'd be challenging maybe to keep Gressel on the pitch with Barco back in the lineup. You might not have to worry about it this week, but maybe Gressel could play a little more right back as the season goes on, again, matchup dependent. So a lot of decisions. It's a good problem to have for Atlanta United. Jason Longshore and I were just talking about it on Stoppage Time downstairs. You have depth. This is a good problem. These are difficult decisions, but it's a luxury for Atlanta United to have where you can plug a lot of different guys into these holes.
Mike Conte joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, guys, NFL Blitz, the latest from Roger Goodell and what he had to say as the owners' meetings wrap up today, and also Dan Quinn. He'd like to see the 53-man roster and game day rosters grow, and we'll tell you why he said that. As we talk about Barco and all that's going on, the friendly, did you watch any of the friendly last night?
I did, yeah.
What'd you think?
And it was funny because Nagby and Almiron were kind of going head-to-head down the wing, which was fun. USA looked okay. You know, Paraguay's a good side. Some harder challenges than I would have liked to have seen in a friendly. But the big thing for Atlanta United this week with the FIFA break, just get everyone back healthy. We remember what happened to Joseph Martinez last year on that awful pitch in Venezuela. Cost him a couple weeks in MLS, probably cost him the Golden Boot. Fortunately, all five Atlanta United players who were on international duty this week appear to have come out of it unscathed. Nagby and Almiron didn't get hurt. Romario Williams played for Jamaica against Antigua. He did not get hurt. And then Goslin and Carlton were over with the U-20s in Europe, and they got out of there unhurt. So now they'll be back here in Marietta. They'll be able to train. But that's the one thing you just kind of hold your breath, especially when it's a friendly, when the result doesn't mean anything. It's
doesn't
not matter. Like a World Cup qualifier. Just get your guys back healthy. And it looks like Atlanta United was able to do that.
Mike, they both played a lot of minutes. Does that concern you?
Good question. Yeah, really good question. Because, yeah, they both played a full 90. And now you're going up to Minnesota. You're going to have to play on Saturday. Now, this is not totally unfamiliar territory. Atlanta United's going to have midweek matches this year, just as they did last year, where you might have to play 180 minutes in a week. So it's going to be interesting to watch if they're going to be pulled out around the 60th minute, if they're going to be allowed to be to play a full 90. But I expect Almiron and Nagby will be in the starting 11, no doubt about it, on Saturday. They need to be.
And, of course, great win for our second team. That's Atlanta United 2.
Yeah.
We've got a win over Red Bulls 2 out there at Cool-Ray Field.
Yeah, 3-1 on Saturday. Almost 6,000 fans at Cool-Ray. It was a great atmosphere. It's going to be a lot of fun this year to have the Proving Ground up in Gwinnett. And now they have a big match coming up this weekend against Charlotte. It'll be a super Saturday for USL. Everyone's going to play.
And guys, Darren was telling us yesterday, Darren Eels, the president of United, who joins us, and Mike Conte is the voice of United here on the game, that, again, if Carlton doesn't get minutes, they might even drop him in there to let him play on the on the two team.
Yeah, honestly, I thought at the beginning of the season he'd probably play a lot with the second team. He has certainly earned the honor, the privilege of playing with the senior team now, the first team. But, yeah, I mean, that is absolutely a possibility. And fortunately, the close proximity – you know, it's not like last year where they had to go all the way down to Charleston and deal with all that. They can go right up to Gwinnett. And, you know, you saw a lot of the first team guys playing this past weekend. Oliver Shannon, it was good to see John Gallagher coming back from injury, and he was able to play. Mikey Ambrose, Alec Cann was the goalkeeper, gave up a goal but had a couple really nice saves in that match. His distribution was very good. So that'll be the other fun aspect. It's not like AAA baseball to the major leagues where maybe you see a guy in a rehab assignment. I mean, here, week after week, you're going to see a lot of Atlanta United players who are just outside the 18 get a chance to play with the second team and try to work their way back onto the first team.
Mike Conte, it's always a pleasure to talk with you about our Atlanta United. You'll hear him with the call on Saturday. By the way, what time's pregame?
7:30 on Saturday, and our little chat here has been brought to you by Associated Credit Union, the way banking should be.
There it is. We'll talk to Mike Conte in just a little bit, guys. Coming up, NFL Blitz and the latest from the owners' meetings and what Dan Quinn had to say. It's all coming your way on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.